Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 20 November, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, we are at verse 20. A very unique and special verse. As we are in that book, the theme of Joel is the day of the Lord. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The book of Joel is a prophetic book, one of the most important prophetic books in the Old Testament Scriptures. When we finish Joel, we'll get into another prophetic book of the Old Testament that is quoted more than any other book in the New Testament. How many of you tried to win the $1 million? On what book that's going to be. But the book of Joel, the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord deals with that period of time from the tribulation period, which is 7 years in length and begins after the church age, after the rapture, concludes with the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, and includes also the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth in perfect environment. All of that sometimes is included in the passages. Sometimes it's just the tribulation, sometimes just the second advent, sometimes just the millennial kingdom. Joel 2, verse 20. It is a prophetic passage, and prophecy always has a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. But in Joel chapter 2, verse 20, the spotlight is on the far fulfillment. The spotlight is on the tribulation period in Joel 2, verse 20. The imagery in verse 20 changes from that of what we had been studying about the locust invasion and the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster in the southern kingdom Judah. Now it switches to a mighty army poised to invade the nation Israel. Although God did deliver Judah from the locust plague, the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster, and from the Assyrians, the Isaiah 36 through 39, in answer to their repentance and grace prayer, this verse, Joel 2, verse 20, looks toward the far fulfillment, the greater time of deliverance in the latter days, in the great tribulation. Joel 2, verse 20 says, in corrected translation, "But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north," this great northern army and northern coalition of nations, "to be removed far from you, and I will cause it," the northern army, "to be driven into a dry land, a dry and desolate land, and I will cause his battle front to be driven into the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and his rear elements into the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and his stench," the stench of rotting corpses, "will keep on going up, and his foul smell will keep on rising, because he has manufactured great things, war and destruction against the nation Israel out of arrogance and evil, rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ." In the last part of verse 20, it says, "because he has manufactured great things." The causal conjunction there is key. It is correctly translated, "because," and key gives the cause or reason why God destroyed this great northern army. Their satanic and evil strategy was to destroy the nation Israel. Their military advance on Israel was a great evil, and under the direction of Satan's influence. The phrase Higdil La'asoth is a Hebrew idiom that means to do great things, to manufacture great things. In our verse, it means to do great things in a very evil way. The verb asah means to manufacture something out of something. This army has manufactured war and destruction out of arrogance and evil from Satan's cosmic system. The Hifil stem of Gadol is causative. They cause these great and evil things to be accomplished from a soul full of arrogance and rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I had some people come up, not one person came up, with a question. Very good question. And so we're going to answer that question. In fact, I'm going to answer three questions. So to clarify Joel chapter 2, verse 20, we need to answer three questions. Three questions. Question number one. Who is this army that is mentioned in Joel 2, verse 20? That's the first question. Who is this army that is mentioned in Joel 2:20? Question number two. Why will this army invade Israel? Why will this army invade Israel? Question number three. How will this army be destroyed? So to clarify Joel 2, verse 20, we're going to answer these three questions. Question number one, who is this army mentioned in Joel chapter 2, verse 20? All right. One. Ezekiel describes a huge confederacy of nations who will descend upon Israel from the north in the tribulation. In the book of Ezekiel, there are two chapters that describe this northern army in great detail. Ezekiel chapter 38 and Ezekiel chapter 39. So in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, Ezekiel describes this army, great confederacy of nations that will come from the north, the far north, into Israel in the tribulation. Turn over to, so we're going to be in Ezekiel 38 and 39 a lot tonight. So turn over to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel describes a huge confederacy of nations who will descend on Israel from the north in the tribulation. Ezekiel 38, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog. And that's Russia, what today is Russia. The prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, of Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army. Your horses, your horsemen fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia, that is Iran today. Iran, so Russia and Iran, they already are allies. Russia and Iran. Cush, that's Africa, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Put, that's Libya, that's Northern Africa, will be with them, all with shields and helmets, also Gomer, that's Eastern Turkey, with all of its troops, and Beth Togarma, that's Western Turkey and Armenia and Syria, from the far north. This is the great confederacy military coming out of the far north. From the far north with all its troops, the many nations with you. So it is a huge confederacy of nations who will descend upon Israel from the north in the tribulation. Turn over to Now look over at Ezekiel 39, Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. Son of man, prophesy against Gog, Russia, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, of Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around and drag you along. I will bring you from the far north and send you against the mountains of Israel. And then I will strike your bow from your left hand and make your arrows drop from your right hand. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, you and all your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and to the wild animals. You will fall in the open field, For I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in safety in the coastlands, and they will know that I am the Lord. So, point one, Ezekiel describes a huge confederacy of nations who will descend upon Israel, invade Israel from the far north in the tribulation. Ezekiel 38, 1 to 6, Ezekiel 39, 1 to 6. Point two, this confederacy will be made up of Magog, that's Russia, and Persia, that's Iran. Already Russia and Iran are allies. Third, Kush, that's northern Africa, Sudan today, Sudan and Ethiopia. Fourth, Put. First, that part of that country is shot. Well, I mean, you know, when you're in the track and field, well, you see. Well, this is how I get my kicks when I'm doing my studying. Oh, shot put's in there. Put is Libya. Gomer is the eastern part of Turkey. And Togarma is the western part of Turkey, Armenia, and Syria. So this confederacy will be made up of Magog, Russia, Persia, Iran, Kush, Sudan and Ethiopia, Put, Libya, Gomer, Eastern Turkey, Togarma, Western Turkey, Armenia, and Syria. Point three. This is going to take place in the tribulation period. That's a major part of the day of the Lord. It will take place in the tribulation period. Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days, you will be called to arms. In future years, that's the tribulation period, you will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people were gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They had been brought out from the nations, and now all of them live in safety. And then Ezekiel 38, starting at verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, Russia, this is what the sovereign Lord says: in that day, when my people Israel are living in safety. Now that's very important to tell us, when does this all begin? Now the tribulation period is a 7-year period. The beginning of the tribulation starts out with the Antichrist, the head of the revived Roman Empire, making a peace treaty with Israel, guaranteeing safety for Israel. So Israel has put away with their military and everything. They are protected by the Antichrist and revived Roman Empire, and a guarantee, a treaty. The problem is, halfway through the 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist breaks the peace treaty. He breaks the peace treaty. He goes to Jerusalem, goes into the temple, and declares himself to be God, and demands that the world worship him as God. And somewhere right about in that time is when the king of the north and this confederacy put together a strategy to invade Israel. And it includes not only Russia and Iran, but also a pincers movement from the South and these nations from Africa included in that. So he says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In that day, when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? Yes, he will. You will come from your place in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, O Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Verse 17. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Are you not the one I spoke in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel? At that time they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day, the tribulation, when Gog attacks the land of Israel. My hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord. And look over at Ezekiel 39, verse 8. Ezekiel 39, verse 8. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the sovereign Lord. This is the day that I have spoken of, the day of the Lord, the tribulation period. And then Ezekiel 39, verse 11. On that day, the day of the Lord, I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, in the valley of those who travel east toward the sea. It will block the way of travelers because Gog and all his hordes will be buried there. So it will be called the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. So this will take place in the tribulation, the day of the Lord. Point four. It will occur when Israel is dwelling in safety. It will occur when Israel is dwelling in safety. Israel will be a nation of unwalled villages, without fortifications, without gates. Ezekiel 38, verse 11. Ezekiel 38, verse 11. You will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages. You will say, this is the king of the north, Gog. I will invade a land of unwalled villages, Israel. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people. Why? Because they have a protection from the Antichrist of the revived Roman Empire. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates, and this is what a lot of you don't want, without bars. Just seeing if you're awake, that's all. Five. Apart from the millennial kingdom, when the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling planet Earth, the only time that the scriptures mention Israel as a peaceful and unsuspecting people living in unwalled cities is during the first half of the tribulation. So apart from the millennial kingdom, when the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling planet Earth, the only time that the scriptures mention Israel as a peaceful and unsuspecting people living in unwalled cities is during the first half of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years. 6. At that time, the Antichrist will make a covenant of peace, a peace treaty with Israel, guaranteeing her protection from surrounding enemies. At that time, the Antichrist will make a covenant of peace with Israel, guaranteeing her protection from surrounding enemies. Turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He, and he is the Antichrist, has already been mentioned earlier in this passage. He, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1/7, for the 7-year tribulation period. But in the middle of the seven, in the middle of the tribulation, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So here we have the peace covenant, the covenant of peace, the peace treaty made by the Antichrist to protect the nation Israel, Daniel 9:27. 7. But after 3.5 years of peace, the Antichrist will break this peace treaty. After 3.5 years of peace, the Antichrist will break this peace treaty. 8. He will turn on Israel and persecute all who will not worship him and his image, which will be erected in the tribulation temple. He will turn on Israel and persecute all who will not worship him and his image, which will be erected, constructed in the tribulation temple. Therefore, point 9, most likely, this huge northern army, army from the far north, this confederacy of nations, coalition of nations, Russia, Iran, Sudan, Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, Armenia, Syria, most likely this invasion will take place sometime near the middle of the tribulation. It will begin sometime near the middle of the tribulation period. That's question number one. Who is this army mentioned in Joel 2, verse 20? Question number two. Why will this army invade Israel? Why will this army invade Israel? One. First of all, from the divine viewpoint, because God will bring them. God will bring them. Ezekiel 38, verse 4. So we're back in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38, verse 4. I is the Lord. I, the sovereign Lord, will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and I, the sovereign Lord, will bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. I, the sovereign Lord, will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army. So from the divine viewpoint, because God will bring them. Two, this is God using Evil One, the king of the north, to bring national judgment on Evil Two, Israel, in apostasy and degeneracy. This is God using Evil One, the king of the north, to bring national judgment on Evil Two, Israel, in apostasy and degeneracy. So first of all, God is bringing them. Point three. But this is all a free will decision on the part of the king of the north. His strategy. He is working out a strategy. So the idea for attacking Israel will also originate with Gog, with the king of the north. It will be his free will strategy, what he wants to do. Four. He, the king of the north, will act freely to accomplish his own evil strategies. He will have formed these evil strategies and have them ready to go. And so he acts on his own free volition. He acts freely to accomplish his own evil strategies. Ezekiel 38, verses 10 and 11. This is what the sovereign Lord says on that day. Thoughts, strategies will come into your mind. Thoughts and strategies into the mind of the king of the north. And you will devise an evil strategy. You will devise an evil strategy, and you will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls, without gates, and without bars. So he, the king of the north, will act freely to accomplish his own evil strategies. Ezekiel 38, 10 and 11. Point five. He, Gog, the king of the north, will attack Israel, invade Israel, because of its location. And that's actually right now, Russia. They look at the map of that area of the world, and the most critical place in the whole area is Israel. And Russia knows that. And right, they are already formulating strategies to invade and take over Israel, because it is the number one critical place. So he, the Gog of the north, will attack Israel because of its location. Let me amplify that. One, Israel is in the midst of the nations. Israel is in the midst of the nations. That's the way it's described in Ezekiel 5:5. Turn over to Ezekiel 5. Ezekiel 5:5. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. So, he, Gog, the king of the north, will invade Israel because of its location. First of all, because Israel is in the midst of the nations, Ezekiel 5:5. Two, Israel is a land bridge between Europe and Asia and Africa. Israel is a land bridge between Europe and Asia and Africa. Three, the one who controls Israel would be strategically located to have control over Europe and Asia and Africa. And Russia knows this right now. The one who controls Israel would be strategically located to have control over Europe and Asia and Africa. Four, this location would give Russia a central military base. This location would give Russia a central military base, control over Middle East oil, domination of Israel's government, changing it from a democracy to a communistic state. Supremacy to govern Israel's worship of God. And many ideal places for warm water ports on the Mediterranean coastline. So this location would give Russia a central military base, control over Middle East oil, domination of Israel's government, supremacy to govern Israel's worship of God, and many ideal places for warm water ports on the Mediterranean coastline. Six, also Russia would control the mineral wealth of the Dead Sea, which is an inestimable fortune. Also, Russia would control the mineral wealth of the Dead Sea, which is an inestimable fortune. Seven, Gog's purpose in the attack will be to plunder and loot unwalled and unsuspecting Israel, which will be rich in all of these things. Gog's purpose in the attack will be to plunder and loot unwalled and unsuspecting Israel, which will be rich in all of these things. Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38 verses 10 to 13. Ezekiel 38 verse 10. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind, Gog, and you will devise an evil strategy. They're devising those strategies as we speak right now. And you will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls, without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled ruins and the people gathered from the nations, rich in livestock and goods, living at the center of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all her villages will say to you, have you come to plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot, to carry off silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, and to seize much plunder? So question two was, why will this army invade Israel? Well, we answered that. Question number three, how will this army be destroyed? One, God will use four means to destroy this great army. God will use four means to destroy this great army. Number one will be a massive earthquake. A massive earthquake. Ezekiel 38, starting at verse 17. Ezekiel 38, verse 17. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Are you not the one I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel? At that time they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day, the tribulation, when Gog attacks the land of Israel. Russia invades the land of Israel. My hot anger will be aroused, declares the Sovereign Lord. That's the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall to the ground. So how will God destroy this great army? First of all, a massive earthquake. Ezekiel 38, 17 to 20. Number two, secondly, friendly fire. Self-destruction. Ezekiel 38, verse 21. Ezekiel 38:21. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Now, this is a combination of what's been going on with this unbelievably large earthquake. You got this coalition of nations together, but in this massive earthquake, they can't tell the good guys from the bad guys. In all the pandemonium, communication between the invading armies will break down, and they will begin attacking one another. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Ezekiel 38, verse 21. Fear and panic will sweep through the forces so that each army will shoot indiscriminately at one another. Third, number three, pestilence, plagues, disease. That's Ezekiel 38, verse 22a, when it says, judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed. So pestilence or plague, disease, Ezekiel 38, 22a, judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed. And number four, natural catastrophes. Ezekiel 38, 22b, I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him and on his troops and on the many nations with him. Natural catastrophes. The slaughter of the armies will be aided by additional natural catastrophes. The torrential rains will combine with dirt and debris from the earthquake to produce massive mudslides and floods. Large hailstones will pelt the survivors, killing many of them. And the burning sulfur, well, that is volcanic ash as a part of the earthquake. So God will use four means to destroy this great army: a massive earthquake, self-destruction, pestilence, natural catastrophe. Point two. The invading armies will be totally destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The invading armies will be totally destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 39, verse 4. On the mountains of Israel, you will fall, you and all your troops, and the nations with you, the confederacy of nations with you, I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and to the wild animals. Ezekiel 39, verse 17. Ezekiel 39, verse 17. Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Call out to every kind of bird and all the wild animals. Assemble and come together from all around to the sacrifice I am preparing for you. The great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel. And there you will eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the princes of the earth as if they were rams and lambs and goats and bulls, all of them fattened animals from Bashan. At the sacrifice I am preparing for you, you will eat fat till you are glutted and drink blood till you are drunk. At my table, you will eat your fill of horses and riders and mighty men and soldiers of every kind, declares the sovereign Lord. I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the punishment I inflict and the hand I lay upon them. From that day forward, the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God. So point two, the invading armies will be totally destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 39:4, Ezekiel 39:17-22. Point three, the destruction of this army will be so vast that it will take 7 months to bury the dead. The destruction of this army will be so vast that it will take 7 months to bury the dead. Ezekiel 39, starting in verse 12. For 7 months, verse 12, for 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, and the day I am glorified will be a memorable day for them, declares the sovereign Lord. Men will be regularly employed to cleanse the land. Some will go throughout the land, and in addition to them, others will bury those that remain on the ground. At the end of the 7 months, they will begin their search as they go through the land, and one of them sees a human bone. He will set up a marker beside it until the grave diggers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. Also, a town called Hamona will be there. And so they will cleanse the land. 7 months to bury the dead. Four, the Lord promised Israel that He would totally destroy this invading army from the north. And that's our passage, Joel 2, verse 20. The Lord promised Israel that He would totally destroy this invading army from the north. Joel 2, verse 20, our verse. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you. And I will cause it, the northern army, to be driven into a dry and desolate land. And I will cause his battle front to be driven into the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and his rear element into the Western Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and his stench, the stench of rotting corpses, will keep on going up, and his foul smell will keep on rising, because he has manufactured great things, war and destruction against Israel, out of arrogance and evil, rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's look back in review and see what has happened in Joel's day. In Judah, the southern kingdom, the client nation to God in Joel's day. In Joel chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, Joel commanded a call for national repentance and a sacred assembly. In Joel 2, verse 15, Joel gave three commands. Sound the shofar, set apart a holy fast for intensified worship, call a sacred assembly, because a spiritual problem demands a spiritual solution, not a political solution. Like we have idiots in this nation. This problem in America is a spiritual problem, not a political problem. And the only solution is a spiritual solution. If this nation doesn't turn back
to God and the Word of God, we're toast. I don't care who is president. I don't care who's elected. And if Jesus Christ were running and became president, he would destroy us. Because he's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And we are an evil nation. We are in degeneracy and apostasy. The problem in America is a spiritual problem. And it demands a spiritual solution. The only hope for America is to turn back to God and the Word of God. And I'm talking about Christians, idiotic Christians, who have no spiritual life, who have no spiritual growth. They have not grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not they don't love him with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. We have turned away from the living and true God and his word. So Joel, command. A sacred assembly. A spiritual problem demands a spiritual solution. Repentance. A change of mind. For the unbeliever, to turn to Jesus Christ and believe in him. For the believer, rebound, followed by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And then the three commands of verse 15 were followed by four commands in verse 16. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Repentance and worship. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. In other words, the crisis was so serious that those who would normally be exempt from worship because of age or recent marriage were required to assemble in this holy convocation for prayer and worship. And then in Joel 2, verse 17, keep on praying for your nation. This is as a result of that spiritual revival. As a result of them listening to Joel and listening to Isaiah, there was a great spiritual revival. And for those who turned back to God and his word, he told them, pray for your nation. And then he told them what to pray for. Father, may you look upon your people with compassion. And Father, may you deliver us from the fifth cycle of national discipline. Do not make your inheritance, Israel, Judah as a client nation to God, become an object of reproach through the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. And the result of this was that the unbelievers changed their thinking in the spiritual revival and believed in Jesus Christ, and the believers rebounded, turned back to God and his word, and grew up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God heard their prayer for compassion, and therefore he removed the curse and brought healing to the land. So now I had to take that time on verse 20. Thanks for the question. Take the time on verse 20 and nail that down. And now we can go on starting at verse 21 next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.